All right, if you take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 9, I apologize for having to sit down again. I was trying to get my foot feeling good enough to not have to sit, but it's still letting me know it's hurt. So I'll sit down for next week or two here and concentrate on the preaching. Matthew chapter 9 this morning. Mitchell, would you be prepared to sing that at the end of the service for us? That's a great song. And I think it's funny when people think that new is bad. I'd never heard that song before. It made me concentrate on the words, number one. Number two, if you can walk away from that song, my heart is abandoned to you, Lord, and I stand in awe of who you are. That's a pretty good message. We can handle that. And I'm just thankful that God gave us that song this morning. The choir song. You sang so good in the hymns and just praising the Lord this morning. I don't want to squash the spirit. I just want to add to it this morning. I want to talk to you about an area I believe our church can improve in. And it's going to sound funny because it's the subject of compassion. And sometimes when we talk about compassion, people think, well, I'm nice to people and I shake their hand and I'm kind. When people come to church, and that sometimes is our idea of compassion. And it really is not what compassion is. We think that compassion is a feeling, something that I have an emotion and I'm going to share that emotion with you, that I care about you. And that's part of it, but it's not all of it. And I want to share this simple message with you this morning that I believe is part of this rootedness in Christ. When we are in Christ, the Bible says we're rooted and built up in Him. When that's the case, we have to grow. The Bible wants us to grow. The Bible says we should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in a season. And his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's God's goal for us as his people, to prosper, to be successful as his people, making a difference. And the Bible says one of the things that makes a difference on other people is compassion. So when we're rooted in Christ and saved, when we are somebody that has trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that simply means that there has come a point in your life where some teach salvation as a process. I believe that salvation is a moment. I don't believe it is something that you're coming to. I think it is something that you do. And I think the only reason you can have salvation is because Jesus provided salvation. The Bible says that the free gift of God, that we are saved through faith, by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And that not ourselves, it is the gift of God. The Bible says that free gift was given to us because the wages of sin is death. If you were left on your own this morning, no matter how good you are, no matter how good you think you can be, and how good that you, all the check marks that you can put in there, that you go to church and you a pretty moral person, you're pretty good to others and you do good deeds and you give to the church and you might be a faithful person to your spouse. The Bible says none of those things, not of works, the Bible says. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We certainly believe in working for the Lord, but not working for our salvation. Salvation is a free gift of God that is accepted when we realize, number one, that we're a sinner. We realize that all that it adds up in our life, the Bible says, for all have sinned. If you go all the way back to the Old Testament, the Bible says we come to the knowledge of our need of salvation by going back to the law. And the Bible says you have to keep the entire law, every point of the law. Not one thing. If you offend the law in one point, you've offended the entire law. The Bible says that you should not steal. The Bible says you should not bear false witness. Never lie one time. The Bible says not to steal. The Bible says not to kill. And God defined killing as even hatred in your heart, you've killed somebody. Bible says you should not commit adultery. And Jesus defined that as even having lust in your heart. So if you've ever done one of those things, and that's not even all the Ten Commandments, if you've ever coveted something, if you've ever put anything ever in your life before God, that is idolatry. And the Bible says we've got to look at the law, and if we'll be honest with the law, the Bible calls it our schoolmaster. And the old term, the old English term, the schoolmaster. The schoolmaster would stand up and basically teach you what you don't know. That would be the job of the schoolmaster. And what you don't know is you don't know Jesus because you've been in this sin. The Bible says your soul is dead in trespasses and sin. It cannot be made alive by you. The Bible says it is quickened or made alive by the Spirit. And the moment that you trust Jesus Christ for your salvation, for your eternal security, for your eternal salvation, when you turn from your sin and stop trusting what you've been trusting, maybe it's a philosophy, maybe it's a worldview, maybe it's another religion, maybe it's what you've been doing, the works. You would just classify that as the works. If you will abandon those things and say, God, I'm trusting you. I trust your Son, Jesus Christ, and His death on the cross. Bible says, by His shed blood we are redeemed. There by one man sin entered the world. And but Bible says, and death by sin. You and I have no hope. The wages of sin is death. Here it is. But the gift of God is eternal life.
Amen.
And then it says this, three little words, through Jesus Christ. That's the only way Jesus, when He walked the face of the earth, looked at a group of people, looked at Nicodemus, and He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Why do we go through Jesus Christ? Because after living 33 perfect years, the Bible says He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And after those 33 years, they took Him and they nailed Him to a cross. And the Bible says, in that, while we were yet sinners, God commendeth His love. God showed you His love. And how did He do it? Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you. And there's not a paper to sign this morning, and there's not, you don't have to give blood, and you don't have to do good deeds. You have to, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the person who paid your sin, perfect became sin, so sin could become perfect. The only way you and I can go to heaven is if we look to God like Jesus Christ. If we look perfect. And the only way we look perfect to God is if we trust the perfect shed blood of Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins. My prayer for you this morning is if you don't know 100% sure without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that heaven is your eternal home, there is one name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And I pray this morning that you would make that decision. Because once you are saved, once you are, the Bible calls it rooted in Him. Rooted, you begin to be built up in Him. We talk about being rooted in His Word. And how His Word provides what we need to know. Okay, so now we know Jesus Christ and we're going to heaven when we die. But how do we live here on earth? You know, obviously God didn't take us to heaven the moment we trusted Him. I got saved when I was 6 years old. Almost 7 years old, and I'm still here. So why am I still here? And I'm still here to grow. I'm still here to be like that tree planted by the river of water. It takes time to grow a tree. And I'm supposed to be rooted in Christ. And one of the ways the Bible says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. In James chapter 1, the Bible says to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And it's referring back to the word of truth. Quick to hear the word of truth. How do I live? How do I act? How do I treat my spouse? How do I tell others about Jesus? How do I get control of my anger? How do I get rid of those thoughts that I'm having? How do I have compassion on it? All of these things are answered when we are rooted not only in Christ by salvation, but rooted in His Word. One of the greatest things God offers to us is being rooted in His wisdom. We talked about that from James chapter 1. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And then the Bible leads us into how to find that wisdom in the Word of God. And we talked about those things last week or 2 weeks ago. And then last week we said, listen, if we're going to make a difference in this world, we obviously need wisdom to navigate this road, navigate these uncharted waters that we're in. You look at the political scene, you look at the cultural scene, you look at the social scene today, the technological scene. We need wisdom to navigate these things. And one of the things is we've got to be a rooted church. I'm not against social media. I'm a tweeter now. My wife calls me a twit. So I tweet now. And I'm for social media if it's done right. I'm for Facebook if it's done right. I'm for all of those things. But it takes wisdom to navigate those things. But listen, if we're going to be a church that is pushing through this culture that we have and pushing through some of the social barriers that are out there and some of these false religions that are being taught, if we're going to push through these things, we've got to be a rooted church. We've got to be a church that is faithful to the house of God. We've got to be a church that loves one another and that is learning the Word of God line upon line, that is under the preaching of God's Word when the book of God is open. We need to be a rooted church. And then last week we talked about being rooted in Christ's love. And what a wonderful thing to know that God loves us no matter what. What a wonderful thing that knows that love originated with God. The Bible says God is love. And the Bible says that He's the one that orchestrates it. He's the one through the Holy Spirit of God in us that is able to help us to love those that are not lovable. To help love those that don't seem like they care, or they are bent on hurting us or mocking us. The Bible says they need loved. And the only way you can love them is with the love of Christ. And the only love that makes a difference is the love of God. And so we talked about that last week. And now today, we're talking about the fruit. Okay, so now we're rooted. We're a rooted church. We want to. We haven't arrived. I'm not saying that in the way that we have nothing else to be concerned about with wisdom or God's word or love and all those things. I'm saying on this journey, once we're rooted in these things and once we're learning these things and once the roots are growing deeper in Christ, the Bible says, rooted and built up in Him. As we're learning these things, there obviously, if it's a healthy root, there's going to be some healthy fruit. The Bible says a good tree cannot bring forth corrupt fruit, and a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil, and an evil tree can't bring forth good. It's impossible, the Bible says, that these things should be. Sweet waters cannot come out of this. Sweet and bitter waters can't come out of the same fountain. Bad language and good language should not be coming out of the same mouth and the same heart. Hatred and love ought not to exist. The Bible says, brethren, these things ought not to be so. And so as we are rooted and built up in Christ, as we are growing like that tree by the rivers of water, the Bible says we shall bring forth fruit in His season. Now, this fruit that comes out of our lives, what does it look like? Well, we could talk about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. We could talk about a lot of different things, but the first thing I want to talk about this morning is the fruit of compassion. It's not just a feeling that we have. It's not, okay, well, I'll love people and I'll say hi to them and be kind. That's not what the Bible defines as compassion. Look at Matthew chapter 9 with me in verse number 35. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 35, I want you to see that with me. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Now that was Jesus' ministry right there in one verse. That's what Jesus did. He traveled around from city to city, from village to village. Here it is, teaching in the synagogues. The Bible says He came unto His own. That's why He was here. He was here to lead the Jew to God. He was to lead the Jew to Himself as the Messiah. So He went into the synagogues to do that. And then it says this, "and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." To every person He met, He preached the gospel of that day, of what it was to be saved, as we've been talking about this morning. And then the Bible says this, "and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." What a ministry Christ had. And then it says this, but He had a ministry. He had something to get done. He had something He had to do. He had a purpose in His life. He had the will of God for Him. He said, "I must be about My Father's business." And then it says this, "but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus had a very specific purpose to do with his, to accomplish with his life. He certainly was busy about the Father's business, as he himself gave a testimony. I am busy about the, there was times of rest, there was times of retreat, there was times of prayer, but he was busy about the Father's business. You read the life of Christ and you are reading an action-packed story of 3 years of ministry, an amazing time of reaching out from village to village, city to city, teaching and preaching and healing the sick. But then the Bible stops and says, but that's not compassion. Isn't that weird? Like, we think we're having church and we think we run buses and we have activities for our prime timers and for our adults, and we have activities for our teens, and we have a school, and we love Christian education, and I preach, and we sing in the choir, and we think, man, we have compassion. We're making a difference. No, that's the will of God for you. That's the business that God has for your life. That's the purpose, since you've been saved, that God has you on this earth. He might have you ministering to your spouse and helping your spouse grow. You might be the person that leads a family member to the Lord. You might be the person that your purpose is a certain career that you're trying to turn around the thought about that career, or the testimony of a workplace, or you're trying to lead that boss, and you know the purpose for your life. You're to sing in the choir, you're to teach a Sunday school, you're to run a bus route, and that's what you're supposed to be doing. That's the will of God. And if we had to give a testimony this morning, you might be able to stand up and say, preacher, I am busy about the Father's business. I mean, God has given me something to do, and I'm busy doing it. I mean, yes, there's times of rest, and yes, there's times where I check out, and there's times where I pray, and there's times where there's a retreat and a vacation, and there's times where I take a couple moments off, but preacher, I have to be honest, I'm trying my best to do what God wants me to do. And as I look around the room this morning, I'm seeing a church that is involved. I mean, you'll see it here in a couple weeks when we do March Madness. Last year, I believe it was something like 70-something workers on Friday and Saturday helping. We didn't need 70-something workers, but guess what? It sure was a blessing to have people sitting amongst the teenagers and having all of those people involved. And I hope we break 80 this year. I hope we get to 100 workers this year. But listen to what I'm saying today. Your involvement in doing what God says you should be doing is not compassion. You ministering as a Sunday school teacher does not count as your compassion. Your involvement in full-time service or part-time service, or if you're preaching, or if you're teaching, or if you're a nursery worker, or involved in some ministry of the church, or you certainly are a person that is trying to be faithful to church, I'm here to tell you that's what God wants you to do. That's the rooted part. You're rooted and built up in Him. That's not the fruit. That's the root. And then the Bible turns the thought and says, this is what Jesus was doing. I mean, walking from city to city, village to village, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and healing all the sicknesses. But when he saw the multitudes, when he saw the people outside the realm of his ministry, when he saw the people that had no direction in their life, when he saw people that were wandering and needed a shepherd. This is what I'm talking about this morning. There are people that are not here this morning that need to be in a good church. And they're wandering as sheep having no shepherd. And there's people on the bus routes that are outside of your realm of what you're doing and your job on the bus and your thing that you're doing. There's people outside the realm of the choir. There's people outside the realm of your Sunday school. There's people outside the realm of our church with me as a pastor. And it would be very easy for me to say, yeah, of course I'm compassionate. I preach every week and I'm a husband and I'm a father and I help in the school and I do everything I can. I'm busy doing the Father's work. But God has a different idea about compassion. Because those people are within the realm of God's purpose for my life and the will of God of what I'm doing every day. But God says we should be reaching outside of that. Because beyond what we can see and where we're engaged, there are people that are needing to be saved. And I want our church to understand that I love the handshaking time, and I love smiling with you, and I love talking with you, and I love ministering with you, and I love going to church with you. But this does not count as compassion. There is a lost and a dying world. You are engaged with them every single day of your life at stores and at gas stations and at the restaurant and at your workplace and in your neighborhood and in your community and in all the places outside of that purpose you have. We need to, as a church, begin to live and breathe and act and step out of our comfort zone with compassion. Because the Bible says in Jude, compassion makes a difference. And if some have compassion making a difference. There will be people that I love in this room. There are friends that I would say I could call you anytime for anything. And there's so many acquaintances here and I hug your neck and we shake hands and it is a wonderful thing. That is not compassion. Because God, through Jesus Christ, defines compassion as looking out at people outside of the purpose we have, outside the will of God for our life, outside of our sphere of influence that is everyday, family, the church, those kinds of things. And God defines it as looking upon the multitudes. Looking upon those that need the Lord. We say, well, we need to get out there and preach more. Wait a second. That's what Jesus was doing. We need to get out there and teach more. We need to deliver to them some good, strong material. Wait a second. That's what Jesus was doing. We need to visit the hospital more. I go to the hospital and I see these guys, they spend hours at the hospital visiting people. And I think that's good to visit the sick and the disease. That's good. But that's what Jesus was doing. And then something caught him. He said, outside of my teaching, and outside of my preaching, and outside of me healing these people of their sicknesses and diseases, there are people wandering around as sheep having no shepherd. There are people that are like in a field ready to be harvested. I want you to see the emphasis of Christ here. But I want you to see this morning that God wants you and I to be involved. Be involved. You know, it hit me as I was researching this. There is one prayer request that God asked you to pray for after He left the earth. He left us, ministered, He was here for 33 years, was on the cross, ministered for 3 years of ministry, and He left us one prayer request. He delivered and said, I need you to pray for something. You've given prayer requests, right? Pray for my sick aunt, pray for my sick uncle, pray for my mom, pray for so-and-so, cousin Joe's in the hospital. Well, God gave us a prayer request through Jesus. One prayer request. That's it. He didn't ask you to pray for his Father, he didn't ask you to pray for heaven. He didn't ask you to pray for the sicknesses. He didn't ask you to, he asked you to pray for one thing for him. If you love the Lord, he asked you to pray for one thing. And this is it right here. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That is the prayer request that Jesus Christ left you. We need to get involved in what is on the heart of Jesus Christ. Yes, teacher, Sunday school, yes, I'm going to preach. I'm going to continue to be faithful. You're going to continue to come to church. You're going to be faithful too. You're going to sing in the choir and you're going to work in the nursery and you're going to do that children's program. And we are going to be thankful and we're going to have a great time and we're going to be joyful and we're going to have a wonderful time in this church growing over the next years. We're going to be like a tree planted. But if this tree wants to bear fruit, then we got to get out there and find people that have no shepherd. We got to get out to our neighbors and to our coworkers and to our bosses and to our relatives and to the people at the store and the restaurant and the gas. We've got to get out there and with compassion see them come to Christ. May God help us to see the compassion of Christ. Let that compassion make a difference in our hearts today. Say, you know what? I'm going to be a person that makes a difference on this world. And I'm going to reach somebody for Jesus Christ. And I'm going to do it like he did. I'm going to let my eyes affect my heart. I'm going to let what I see, this horrible world that is just going down the tubes and people are just so angry and hateful. And listen, look on it. See it. And with compassion, reach out. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bring his sheaves with him. You're going to have to let it affect your heart, folks. And you're not going to have to. You're not going to be able to check off that box and say, "Well, I went to church. I was compassionate on so and so. They needed a hug, and I gave them a hug." That's not compassion. That's love. That's Christ's love. That's godly love. We need the fruit of compassion that makes a difference. That when people come to our tree, when people come to our life, they can pluck out of our life compassion. They see our heart broken for them. They see our heart anxious to bring them to Christ so that they and their life can be saved. Would you stand together with me forward to prayer this morning, please?